welcome into another edition of Falcon Cast. John Michaels, no more Matt Moore. It's Jay Adams to my left, and the former quarterback, All-American, all that good stuff, DJ Shockley.
The legend.
I love it already. I mean, the introduction there is pretty grand. Might be a little over, but, you know, hey.
Hey, you were an All-American.
I don't know about legend.
You are. Yeah. Come on. I've walked around the state of Georgia with you a lot of times. Been on the field. You are a legend.
You won a couple games, you know.
You can't go anywhere.
No.
And I see you everywhere. Like, I'm on television, radio, print, everywhere. I see you everywhere.
I like to be involved.
That's good.
How about that?
That's good. But this is your first love, right?
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. We got a lot to get into today, obviously. We're getting ready for week number three of the preseason, which is huge. There's a bunch of guys in the back here in the locker room that are getting ready to try to make a football team. We'll review what happened last week for the New York Jets. Jay and I had a good time down on the sideline watching that, at least the early portions of the game. We'll talk about what they're going to do against the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we'll break with Bosek, which will be a lot of fun. And a video of the week, although I don't know anything that will live up to the video from last week with Pat Moore running around on the ice at an Atlanta Thrashers game.
I got more comments about that.
Yeah.
What was it? Chicken pita or something?
It was a pita.
Fajita.
Chicken fajita.
By the way, I could use some fajitas right now. Sounds like good.
We need a fajita sponsor on this show.
You know what?
We'll work on that.
We'll have to figure that out. Let's dive into what happened last week for the New York Jets. I thought, Jay, we'll start with you. A lot of good early on. The offense came out firing on all cylinders. It's now 3-for-3 for Matt Ryan. 3 drives, 3 touchdowns. They look really good so far offensively, at least the first
Matt game. Struggled, though. He had an incompletion.
Yeah,
How dare you, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I can't believe you, Matt.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think stands out. You know, there's a lot of things that stand out about this preseason, but I think that's one of the big things is how well the offense is clicking, because you always heard that during training camp, during preseason games, the defense is always going to click faster than the offense because of intricacies, all these different things, timing, things like that. Yet the offense looks like they've been running it for years. Matt Ryan is really handling the Kyle Shanahan offense well. He's got his timing with Julio. He's getting timing with Leonard Hankerson. You know, Roddy White is obviously going to be out for the preseason, but, I mean, those two guys have enough history that it doesn't matter. The thing that you want to see is the running game start to pick up a little bit, and I think when you've got your top two running backs who have been sitting on the sidelines, that is going to hurt your running game a little bit. I'll be interested to see what those guys can do if they're playing this Friday. But overall, I think you have to be very pleased with what you've seen out of this Falcons offense so far.
I'll go a little step further and say I'm really pleased, like you said, with both groups being efficient. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, the offense coming along so quickly makes it just an extra value for everybody because they're coming along so quick. I didn't expect them to pick it up so quick. Obviously, they had minicamp. They had OT. They had everything else involved to get ready. But now you're in game, and they are rolling, like you said, like they've been together for years. Defensively, you're seeing guys out there communicating. You're seeing guys filling run gaps, things that they didn't happen last year, being able to stop the run. And for me, this is not to pick on the offensive line, but it's one of the things of why not, regardless of who's back there, open up holes? You know, we had 5 yards rushing in the first half.
Right.
That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? We got to do better up front. And regardless of who's running the rock, let's try to open up some holes. But other than that, I mean, even without a run game, this offense still looks good. And it's crazy what a run game will add to this offense, especially once they get it going.
But concerning the offensive line, I saw something that I haven't seen in a while at a Falcons game, and that's Matt Ryan alone in the pocket with yards of space around him.
Yeah.
The offensive line has done a really good job in pass pro. I think that can't be overlooked right now because Matt is having time, and I think the offense clicking is a product of him having just a few seconds more to think and go through his reads and find a receiver.
And one thing, the Falcons have used play action, and it's worked without a run game, and that's a credit to the offensive line because they do a good job of what we call having low hats. So, they mean, they fire off the ball like it's a run play. They keep their hats low so the defensive line, linebackers, when it initially looks like, run. Mm-hmm. So the linebackers freeze for a half a second, and that's when you see the slants come in behind them. You see them hit Hankerson, hit Julio in the first game.
Colin Mooney.
Yes.
Rumbling.
Love to see a big guy catching the ball running down the sideline.
So good things like that are also positive for the offensive line. Yeah, you want to see the run game. That's part of it. And that's just small things we're looking at. But the other smaller things, the thing we just mentioned, just doing a good job with hat placement, doing a good job of creating holes and keeping number two straight up.
Not to stay on the offensive line, but I think one thing, there's something to be said about continuity. And I've been charting down on the sideline the percentage that guys are playing together. There's not a lot of the ones being grouped together. A lot of times it's Joe Holly coming in, and then you immediately follow up with Mike Person going to center. It's tough when you're a new unit trying to run a new scheme to really get that continuity. I think this week when they play Miami, you'll see more of the ones coming in a lot. You'll see these guys playing for a half. Maybe the running game finally gets going. Either way, I'm not overly concerned right now because what you guys mentioned, who's the most important person on the offensive side of the football?
Deuce.
Number two, keeping him upright, stopping him from getting hit in the chest like he was a year ago, and they've done a good job for that for the most part. I want to talk about one of the other positives, and I know defense is one of them. How about Keith Armstrong's special teams unit? Matt Bosher, I don't know what he did in the offseason, but let's get him ready for the Pro Bowl right now. He averaged over 57 yards a punt last week. And Devin Hester, you know where he's from. He looked like Devin Hester circa 2004 at the U.
The U in
switching
it.
Sides and running away. That guy's amazing.
And special teams is such an overlooked aspect of the game, but games are really won and lost on special teams in so many different ways. And Keith Armstrong is one of the best. We've seen it, and it's so underrated what he brings to this team that, you know, you've got these guys who are going out there continually doing their jobs that you almost take them for granted. I mean, we all know Matt Bryant is money, and we all make a big deal out of that, but Matt Bosher with the field position that he sets up, and then you look at guys like Eric Weems and Anton Smith when he's healthy. Right. And
Bradford is killing it.
Alan Bradford is playing like a man possessed on special teams. If you haven't noticed him, I mean, oh my gosh. But those guys are setting up field position, and it puts the defense in a great position, and you can't overstate that.
That's the number one thing you mentioned right there was changing field, switching it up. And I think every coach I've always had says the most important part of the game is when you come out of on kickoff or kickoff return, the first play of the game, and then when you come out of halftime, because those set the tempo of each half.
Right.
And then also changing the field, like you just mentioned, Bosher kicking it a long way, pinning them inside the 20, inside the 10. And then on the other side, you got Hester who taking it to the crib and putting it on the 3-4 yard line. The offense has a short field. Mm-hmm. Either way you put it, these guys changing field position is huge, and it changed the impact of a game. I remember Matt talking about it at the end of the game was, yeah, we hit the first drive, we went down, then the second drive, we were set up on like the 3-4 yard line.
Right.
So it was pretty easy for us to, you know, stick it in. Things like that are overlooked when you look at the stat sheet or the stat line. Those are big parts of the game.
Well, and how much easier it is for your defense when all of a sudden you come back and it's a change of possession, Matt Bosher punts the ball, but yet the opposing offense is starting inside their own 20-yard line.
Yeah.
How much more aggressive do you want to be? I mean, if you're a new defensive coordinator, you just say, hey, I'm going to pin my ears back. I'm going to let these guys come after the quarterback because guess what? We have room for error. It's not that they're getting the ball at midfield and plus territory. It's nice to see the special teams early. And a lot of times, this is a time of the year that special teams don't gel because it's shuttling in, people trying to make a team. You see Keith Armstrong doing a great job, as he always does. This leads me to defense. And Jay, we talked about this at length on the field. There is a package that the Falcons put in obvious pass rush situations. Vic Beasley, Jonathan Babineau, Adrian Claiborne, and O'Brien Schofield. We've got to come up with a nickname. And you guys can tweet, you can text, do whatever you want to do. We've got to come up with a nickname for that package. Rashawn Ali on CW69 asked both of them, O'Brien Schofield and Jonathan Babineau. The team hasn't come up with one. All I know is those guys get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and what's awesome, when you watch it, and I tend to watch it on film. I watch it back, and, you know, I watch the game. And the great thing about it is they get pressure on the outside. Schofield and Beasley, they set the edge. They get up to a point, 6-7 yards in that pocket. They set the edge there so the quarterback can't go out this way or go out the opposite way. They set that edge, and then you got Babs and you got Claiborne in the middle just pushing that pocket, closing that pocket in. And as a quarterback, when your offensive linemen are starting to get on your lap, you get uncomfortable. And we saw that very evidently last week when the Jets quarterback was in the middle and he was getting pushed and they had that big sack. That package is causing a lot of issues.
Right.
A lot of issues. They're doing a good job of setting the edge, then the inside guys are pushing the pocket, getting to the quarterback.
And I think one of the things that really impressed me is that, because I saw it for the first time, like up close on the field, was the speed of Vic Beasley off the football. I mean, it was just incredible to see how fast he's getting past offensive tackles, and that's going to cause a lot of problems. That's what the Falcons want him and need him to do. And that package is really going to help. Everybody's coming in, they're doing their responsibilities, but if you add that extra element of Beasley speed,
yeah.
I mean, forget it. There are going to be quarterbacks that are going to have bad days coming up.
I saw Beasley get upfield 2-3 yards, quick as you can, offensive tackle goes to try to set him, and he hits him with a spin move back up through the middle.
Unbelievable. Almost had the sack, too.
It happened so fast, I was like, oh, man, this dude's
Mind you, that's against DeBrickashaw Ferguson, right. who's a three-time right. Pro Bowler in this league. He's not a ham and egger. He wasn't doing that against a guy that's going to be, you know, bagging groceries 2 months
and
from
the
now.
Size difference between the two of them. I mean, you would think that DeBrickashaw would just be able to hug him, and that would.
And after the game, after the game, Coach Quinn gave him respect, saying, "Hey, this is a guy who can, you know, punch you from a mile away." You know, Brick is a long guy, so. Right. Mm-hmm. It was a great job of him getting back there.
You know, we got to come up with a nickname. We were talking about the Slim Sub package.
Slim Sub.
Because Babs is down a little bit of weight. Adrian Claiborne moving from DN, playing a lot of D tackle. He's a slim guy. That doesn't really fit, though.
It doesn't, but there's a very distinct difference when you see guys like Tyson Jackson and Paul Soliai and Rashid Hageman coming off the field, and you see these guys going on. You know what's coming. And if you're an opposing quarterback and you see those guys on the field, you better have a three-step drop and get rid of the ball.
And we just named seven guys right there that's in that rotation that's going to create havoc. It's going to also keep them all fresh. Every first, second, third, or down, it's going to be different sets on the field where you got to worry about which guy's in the field. And these offensive guards and tackles are going to have to worry about 2-3 different types of guys that's coming in the game. So they're going to have to think, how do I block this guy? How do I block that guy? Which kind of moves does he have? It's going to cause them to overthink their job. Right. And then that's when they're going to cause issues up front. So it's going to be a great, great rotation, I believe, for all these guys.
We saw what Seattle was able to do with waves of defensive linemen. I go back to the mid-'80s and early 90s in college football. Florida State would do the same thing. You're subbing four guys at a time. It's something about being a fresh guy that it's simple. You don't have to really think. It's pin your ears back and come straight up the field and go get the quarterback. And that's exactly what these guys are doing.
And I want it to be known that I've been on the Adrian Claiborne train since day one. When he got here, back in the 2011 draft, that was the guy that we were supposed to take, and then you move up and you get Julio Jones. It was a great trade. Everybody knows that. But Adrian Claiborne has such potential and has shown such potential, and I don't know that he's ever been put in the right situation and has been healthy enough. And if he can stay healthy, and he's definitely in the right situation, he can cause some real problems. And I'm
can he be Michael Bennett? Michael Bennett, 1 year, $5 million, and all of a sudden he's a star.
Exactly. Yeah. He is exactly that, I think, both in what you're saying metaphorically, but also, you know, just very realistically in the way you use him on the field. It's very much like a Michael Bennett situation. I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah, I like what he's brought to the table. He's got an attitude right now. He's aggressive, and I think it's been infectious for the guys on the D-line. It's good to see that. Now, one of the things we've also watched a lot, Matt Ryan comes off the field, and it turned into, I don't want to say quarterback roulette. It was by design. Every other series, it was T.J. Yates. It was Sean Renfrey, and then yesterday, all of a sudden, you bring in Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the quarterback battle, and what this told me yesterday with Rex Grossman coming in, they were not satisfied with the Falcons with what you saw out of TJ and Sean.
Yeah.
They're going to have a big opportunity this week to try to get something done.
They have to. I think it's a must that both those guys go out and really play. I mean, obviously, Matt's going to play into the second half and probably come out after that first series. It's going to be interesting to see how these guys respond, because right now their backs are really against the wall. Obviously, when you bring another guy in, you know my job is in jeopardy. And that's just common sense. You know it. I mean, as a player, you've been in this league, you understand what it's about. And when they bring in a veteran guy who's been in the system, who knows what the offensive coordinator, Shanahan, is expecting, that makes it even tougher. So now your mind frame changes now. Last couple weeks has been, you just got to make sure you do your job and do it well and go out. Now you got to worry about, okay, maybe there's somebody behind me who is looking to take my job if I mess up. So now you can't go out thinking, I got to really push the envelope.
Right.
You push the envelope now, you're going to have even more issues playing in the game. They just got to go out and play their game. Both guys can play at this level. Both guys have done it. It's a situation of which guy can really go out and be consistent each time they're in the ball game. Because we've seen good times from both of them, and we've seen some really bad times from both. But which guy is most consistent is what I believe these coaches are looking for.
Do you view this as a situation where, I mean, you're two games into the preseason right now.
Mm-hmm.
Grossman's not going to play this week against Miami. So he's got one game to show himself. Do you view this as a realistic chance for him to make the team, or is this a tactic to just kick Renfrey and Yates in the pants a little bit and say, okay, you know, you've got some fire behind you?
Here's why I believe this is a position for Rex to really make this team, because – throughout the whole offseason, throughout mini camp, throughout training camp, there's been nobody else here.
Right.
They've given you your opportunity to say, take this job. Yep. They've given each guy their set amount of reps. They've had a lot of time during games. They said, all right, we want you two guys to go out and take this number two job. Mm-hmm. Somebody take it from each other. Last two games, a lot of plays, a lot of reps, a lot of throws, a lot of situations, two-minute drills for both guys coming in back and forth. How can you take this team down and be successful? Right. We've given you the chance. Now, we haven't seen it. We are not, as you said, as we both feel, we don't feel like they both are comfortable with what they have now. So you bring in somebody who you know what they can do.
Right.
Shanahan knows what he's about. I read the other day, he said, hey, I know who Rex Grossman is. He's a tough son of a gun. He's mm-hmm. going to stand in there. He knows exactly what I expect, and he's going to stand in there, and he's going to throw the rock. So it's going to be interesting to see how these guys really respond to it, because right now I feel like it's their job. Well, it's Rex's job to lose, really.
Yeah,
I don't think you bring him in here
I totally with the intention agree with what of cutting saying, him. Sean. You know? I totally agree. I think he's on the team. I'll go as so far as wow. saying right now he's on the team, and the other guys may be fighting to be on another team.
Yeah.
Remember, today's day and age of the NFL, there is no more keeping three quarterbacks on the active 53. It
right.
just doesn't happen.
Right.
Maybe you stash a guy on the practice squad. If you're a veteran in TJ Yates, you could be playing for somewhere else, because you don't bring a guy in Rex Grossman, purposely sit him. He obviously he's not going to play this week against Miami, and then say, oh, well, we'll just turn around and cut you a week from now. You're bringing him in for a reason,
right.
and that reason is to be the backup.
And the thing is, also there's the economic part about it. I mean, if we're going to be real about it, they're not going to have two guys making over, you know, whatever X amount of dollars
right.
that they play for backups. You know, it's right. just it's just not the way the NFL works, and we know exactly what it does. And if TJ wants to be a part of this team, he has to show a lot. I mean, a lot in these next two games.
And you know what this really shows me is that if I'm a player at any other position, mm-hmm. I'm still looking at this situation.
Oh, yeah,
and
no
I'm
doubt.
Saying, absolutely. You know what? Dan Quinn's been talking about competition. We come in here and compete every single day. Well, he's backing that up because he brings in a guy who – is going to compete. He's yep. going to give these guys a run for their money. As you guys are saying, I mean, he's already on the team in your minds. So you have just created a competition that was even greater than what it was before.
Right.
And so I think if I'm a guy who's even in the middle, you know, maybe I've got a roster spot, maybe I don't, or I feel pretty good, I'm still looking at this like, okay, there's still a couple of weeks left. Anybody can be brought in.
And I'll add one more thing to the QB battle is when they brought Rex Grossman in, instantly I thought, okay, which guy's gone?
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, I said, they gotta get rid of one guy. And then when it didn't happen, as a backup guy, as a guy, if I was TJ or Sean, I'd be thinking, okay, he didn't get rid of one of us. He still wants to see more from us.
Right.
Here's a chance for us to still prove ourselves mm-hmm. because he kept us around. He could have easily got rid of one of us and sure. said, all right, this is what it is now. Mm-hmm. We gave you our opportunity, and that's what it is. No, he said, listen, I want to see what you guys can do in the last two games.
And to go to Jay's point, to expand on that a little bit, when you talk about competition, remember, at the end of preseason, when you go from 70 down to 53,
75,
or 75 yeah. down to 53, there's going to be a lot of veteran cuts out there.
Yeah.
Guys that are household names, guys mm-hmm. that may still have a lot left in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And for players that you just talked about on the fringe, you got to be aware of that. You can't say, hey, I'm good, I made the team. There could be a guy cut from somebody else that might fit the scheme better, and you could end up losing your job.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the other things that goes on this time of the year is injuries. I know this isn't wood. I'll knock on my head, which is about as close to wood as you can get. Luckily for the Falcons, there have not been the catastrophic injuries that we've seen around the league, guys with ACLs or anything like that. The biggest news for the week, Roddy White gets off the plane. All of a sudden, the elbow swells up. He doesn't play, has to go for minor surgery. Looks like he'll be back for the regular season. Any concerns with Roddy, or he's been such a warrior for this team, do you just go, he'll be fine the opening day against Philadelphia?
You know, I don't know that I've ever seen a player tougher than Roddy White. I mean, just the fact that this is his first surgery, I mm-hmm. think says a lot. But, I mean, this is a guy who does not miss games, and I know that he's missed games here in recent years. But, man, he does everything that he possibly can to get himself ready for Sunday. It does not matter if he practices on Wednesday. It doesn't matter if he practices on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who's always going to be game ready, and I think that's a huge credit to just the growth that he's shown over his career and how serious he takes things. As far as injuries overall, I mean, anytime you look across the league and you see guys like Jordy Nelson, Kelvin Benjamin going down for the year, I mean, it's heartbreaking because you don't want to see that. You want the NFL to be this competitive place. You don't want to see people get injured. And I think it's always got to be on your mind, but gosh, I tell people all the time on Twitter, injuries are part of the game.
Absolutely.
It's just the nature of the beast, and you can't prevent them in any way. I mean, believe me, if there was a way that Kelvin Benjamin could have prevented, you know, the ACL, I mean, he would have done it. And so it's just one of those things that happens. It's a risk, and you've got to know that going into every single practice.
I think it was a crazy number, like 24, 25 guys.
28.
Like 28
season
guys.
Ending already, yeah.
Which is crazy. Started way early in the season with Fowler, you know, down in Jacksonville.
Right. Yeah.
First camp, you know.
First snap.
It's just the craziness of this game. Yeah. It's a high speed. It's a, you know, it's a very athletic game, and things like that happen. To talk about Roddy for a second, as a guy who's played with him, as a guy who knows him personally, he will be out there playing regardless. Like you mentioned, he's the toughest guy that I've been around. And knowing Roddy, I know he has heard the naysayers talking about, oh, Roddy White's getting up in age. Mm-hmm. They need to bring in another guy to replace Roddy. Right. Oh, Roddy's he's collecting all that in his memory bank, and he's ready to explode on him, especially when it's out on the field. He wants to make sure he's completely prepared for the season. And there's no doubt about it. I believe Roddy will come out and be ready to play.
Now, we stay with the injury concerns leading into the Miami game. We have yet to see Tevin Coleman on a field in the preseason game. We've yet to see Devontae Freeman on a field in the preseason game. Willie Moe's dealing with some stuff as well, although I think, you know, the Missouri Hammer will be out there when the lights are on come Monday Night Football. What do you guys look forward to playing Miami, what could be a dominant defensive line, especially in regards to Devontae and Tevin Coleman? How much do we see them this week, and how much do you need to see out of them as we get really the big dress rehearsal?
I think that for two guys that share 1 year of experience in this league, you've got to get them some snaps, and especially when you're talking about a brand new offense. They have to be able to see these things. Now, Devontae ran the zone blocking scheme in Florida State, so he understands the vision that he's got to have, the one-cut thing, you know, look for daylight and go. He understands that, but you've still got to get your legs under you. You haven't had that real 100% competitive full speed situation yet. So you've got to get him some snaps. I think that's hugely important. Tevin, you want to see what he's made of. You want to see, can he adjust to the NFL speed? Because it's different. Can he handle being in front of the crowd and doing all these different things with the offense that he's in? You want to see those things. I think it's very important that they get snaps. I think overall, what I'm looking for in this game is sustainability. Mm-hmm. We've seen great drives out of the offense. We've seen great stands out of the defense through, you know, half of a first quarter. I want to see that go all the way to halftime and then maybe a series into the third quarter.
For me, I think when we talk about the running back situation, for Devontae, I just wanted him to get time on task. Same thing with Tevin. They need to get time on task with Matt. They need to get time on task with his offense. Like you just mentioned, the NFL speed is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We also know game speed is a little bit different. Yep. Both these guys have practiced. They've scrimmaged. There's nothing like you getting on the field and having game speed. You don't want the first time Tevin Coleman hits the ground running is when the lights are flashing, Monday Night Football, and everybody is there watching that game and millions of fans are watching. You got to get used to the checks. You got to get used to the arms. You got to get used to the linemen communicating back and forth, seeing what call they got, pointing out the mic. You make sure you know who you got. You got to get used to that in a game situation. You've done it in practice, yeah, but that's totally different. You need to get into a game-like situation and say, all right, here's what it actually feels like. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to happen before time. You mentioned there's one game, there's 1 year of experience between the both of them.
Right.
We're not talking about 6-7 year vets right here. These are guys who need time on. They need to play.
I love that you mentioned the checks. There was a play last week against the Jets that backup quarterback, I think TJ was in the game, he gets sacked for a safety. Leonard Williams comes through untouched.
I watched
James Stone immediately grab the running back and kind of tap him on the shoulder and say, that was you.
Yeah.
So the important thing for Tevin and Devontae may not be – running the football comes naturally. You're a guy that's played running back for 15 years of your life. You know how to run the football, find a hole, and explode through it. But hearing that check, hearing that audible, and realizing I might have to be the guy that steps up in the pocket and takes on Ndamukong Suh, you know, basically unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn that, and the only way you learn that is in game situations.
I'll give you guys a great example of it. There are keys that linemen and how they communicate with running backs is we've seen – everybody's seen it. You come to the line and say you get two guys in a gap and you'll see the offensive lineman tap his hip. Mm-hmm. You got this gap, I'm sliding down, you come right through here. If you don't see that kind of stuff, you don't know that it's coming or you're not used to it, you will totally miss it and things like that will happen and there's a lack of communication. Now it looks like, you know, TJ or somebody just gave a sack, but those are the small things that you need. Those are the things you need to get in the game. And then this – This is going to be a big game for the offensive line. You got Cameron Wake on the outside. I mean, the guy.
You know what they made a t-shirt down there? It says Earthquake and Tsunami. Think about that for a second. And don't forget Olivier Vernon's on the other side, a guy that's a double-digit sack guy.
And, oh, by the way, on the outside, you've got Brent Grimes. So.
My boy Grimey out there.
Which, by the way, Miko tweeted me some last night.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing a preview of the Dolphins on the radio at 92.9 The Game, and she tweeted me. She's like, you could have had me on. That's my girl. I've known Miko a long time. Brent's obviously – Brent was a great guy when he was here.
You had to make sure that thing was censored. You had to –
No, she was good. She was good. Yeah, she wasn't right, messing with me at all. Now, the Dolphins are 0-2 in preseason. As a native Floridian, I do watch them. I'll go home and watch, you know, whatever the replay is. They are much like Atlanta, being their first team on both sides of the ball has been dominant. Ryan Tannehill, boom, right down the field. They're scoring. Defensively, they're getting off the field. Their backups have struggled a little bit, and that's how they've lost games. What do you watch for outside of the O-line this week, Jay?
You know, I look at first of all, the matchup. You can't ask for a better set of teams to be playing each other in the third preseason game, because I think these are two teams that are on the same level as far as they're on the upswing. They've got talented quarterbacks. They've got talented a lot of different positions. You're going to really see in this game where these teams are at, I think, through the first half of the football game. I think, you know, on the offense, I think – one of the things outside of the offensive line, outside of the running backs, is the timing. I want to continue to see that timing with the wide receivers. I'm not concerned about Julio, but I want to see Justin Hardy kind of shake off some of the rust that we've seen. You know, a couple of drops here and there. I want to see him start to step up and own that position. I want to see continued progression out of Leonard Hankerson, because I really think that this kid could have a really big year for the Falcons. So really my eyes are going to be on that wide receiver spot. One of the curious things to me, though, throughout this preseason is whether it's first team, second team, whatever, we haven't seen a lot out of tight ends.
Right.
Not at all. And so I want to see, how do we get the tight ends involved in the game? Because I think that's ultimately going to be crucial, because it's a good outlet that Matt's liked over his career.
The tight ends are huge, and that's a great point you made, because that's part of that third or fourth receiver. And people say, all right, that's a tight end. No, it's your third or fourth receiver, especially when you get in a 3-by-1 sometimes. You need that tight end to be able to stretch that middle of the field, to be able to be your underneath guy. And if they have that going, whether it's Tony or Tammy or Tulolo, whoever's in the game, they got to make sure that they are confident in what they're doing, first off, because they haven't been getting a lot of football. So, obviously, they're thinking where we are, where do we belong in this offense? That's a big part of it. Defensively, I want to see those guys get after somebody.
Right.
We've seen them be able to get pressure with just four, which is awesome. Continue that. Like you said, sustainability. We want to keep that, continue that, and also continue to stop the run. That's a big, big thing for this defense over the years, is being able to stop the run and also get after quarterback early. We've seen it. Want to see it continue.
And Tannehill's been on fire this season.
They're loving him in Miami.
Really
loving
stepping up. I mean, this is, again, it's a good measuring stick to see where you're at.
I want to watch, and we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the continued growth, and I don't think Desmond Trufant's going to play this
probably
week
either. Probably not.
I want to see – that is a tough matchup. Jarvis Landry, everybody talked about Odell Beckham Jr. That kid was a stud last year.
Yeah.
They've got Kenny Stills who can run.
Came over.
Greg Jennings there. I don't think Devontae Parker, their first rounder, will play. But the matchup of the secondary covering some pretty darn good receivers.
Those are three good receivers. Those are three quick, you know, stout receivers. Greg Jennings played for years.
Right.
A very wily veteran. It's going to be interesting. And I want to see Jalen come back and respond.
Yeah.
He struggled in his first two games. I want to see him, you know, bow his shoulders and show us that confidence and swagger that he's had throughout.
Right. During warm-ups, I mean, he's got that confidence, and then he gets on the field, and you can tell that the game, he's got to catch up to it a little bit. Now, you have to be patient with these guys. Not everybody is going to be on the same progression. So I think that comes with – I mean, Marquand Manuel is working with that kid every day after practice. Every single day, without fail, they are on the field doing some extra work. So he's coming along. I would love to see more out of him as well.
You know how you're becoming old? When you remember watching Marquand Manuel play in college, and now all of a sudden he's a coach.
Right.
So it made me feel old right now, Jay. By the way, I'm going to give you a
Gator,
quick advice.
A Gator,
former Gator.
I can't believe you're talking about a Gator.
Hey,
man.
I remember watching him play. Very good chance of rain this week. Buy a rain slicker or whatever
one.
You need.
I'm good. I'm
there's
good.
A little hurricane brewing in the Atlantic.
I think we're going to miss
What's
it.
What's new in Miami?
Nothing new.
Right.
So, yeah, it's
Miami
August there.
August, right?
So we'll probably be good wet. I remember the preseason game like 3 years ago. The only time I've ever been pulled off the sideline. Wes and Arch go, dude, you don't have anything. It's monsooning.
I've
come upstairs.
Never seen rain like that. Like,
it was ridiculous.
Bad. It was really bad
sideways.
That day.
Yep. Well, that's good Falcons talk. It's time now to break with our good friend, Bo Zach.
Hi, Bo.
Yo.
Bo Dilly, what up, baby?
Hey.
All right,
it's fantasy football season.
It is.
Drafts are happening.
So before we get into that, would you ever do your draft before the preseason's over?
No.
These people who are complaining about, oh, I drafted Jordy Nelson. Why are you drafting before the preseason's over?
You're not real bright.
Come on.
So my fantasy draft is the Tuesday before the Thursday
there
kickoff.
There you go. That's the way to do it. Isn't that right, Bo?
That's the way to do it. That's what I would advise too. All right. Fantasy football, you got to have a team name. What would you guys' fantasy football team name be?
Do we have to keep these G-rated? Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we're on the Falcons website, so we'll keep them G-rated. Mine would be it would be like a Las Vegas party with Gronk, something like that, or hanging with Mr. Gronkowski in honor. Remember the show Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yep.
There you go.
Man,
I'm going to take it back a little bit because, you know, my people
What's happening right now?
I'm the great
Beavis,
corn, the great corn Julio.
Beavis and Butthead.
Oh. Great corn Julio.
Corn Julio, that's great. I'm both saying you're not old enough to remember Beavis and Butthead.
The young people behind us are like,
okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. What you need to do, there's a library of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh,
go back and watch it. You will laugh.
It's so good.
How old are you? 23? Oh, it's perfect. Right in your wheelhouse. When I was 23, that show was out. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
This past week, I've been looking for some good names and had some good suggestions. And one was Grady Got Back Too, which is pretty
good. I like that.
I heard that one. I was like, that's pretty funny. I can't think of any other.
You know, when we had Jonathan Massaqua, one of my favorites was Texas Chainsaw Massaqua.
I like that. Yeah, those are good. Great.
Texas Chainsaw.
What's awesome now is you can Google them, and there's hundreds
lists
and hundreds.
And lists.
Now, I saw somebody had Maddie Ice Baby.
Yeah. I like that.
Vanilla Ice. You know.
There you go.
What do you got, Bo? You got one? Bo, you got to have one. Oh,
yeah.
You're going to put us on the spot.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
On the spot.
You got to know this.
You saw his face instantly go, oh.
No, I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
I don't. Come on, man.
That should be in your wheelhouse. Fantasy football names. You youngsters, you millennials are always good with that stuff.
Probably Gold Deck Bosa.
I haven't brainstormed yet. I wait till my team's drafted. And then from there, I see what last names I have, and I do a play on words.
Okay.
Fair enough. That's all right.
So back now, Falcons related. Which first-year Falcon would you want to be stuck in an elevator with?
First-year Falcon.
Huh.
I'm gonna say Big Grady. I think Big Grady would be pretty funny, dude, man. I saw him I think you guys had it mic'd up for the last Jets game. I think it was.
It was actually the Titans game.
Yeah, he was pretty comical, man. But I think ultimately he ended up being able to get that door open. Looks like a little strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right that thing open.
I have a really funny story though. So we were in New York, and there was this big. There was like an Indian wedding going on at this hotel.
Same place where you and Bo were taking pictures in front of the.
So we I'm in the elevator with Curtis, who's one of our PR guys, and Curtis is
who's bulked up,
he's built, you know, looks really good. Let's get him a tryout.
Let's get him a
so
tryout.
him and I are in this elevator. We're on the 18th floor, so we got a long way to go. Of course, we stop at like just about every floor and we get people on, getting off. So this couple gets on and they start talking to us because they know the Falcons are in the hotel. And they look at Curtis and go, are you a player? And he's like, oh, no, I'm not a player or anything like that. And he goes, you look like a wide receiver. I'm telling you, at that moment, the elevator stops. Doors open. Julio Jones gets on.
No,
they don't say a word to him. They keep talking to Curtis Jackson about.
Didn't even
about
see Julio. Didn't even there.
Julio goes down one floor, gets off, and not a word was spoken.
That's
to
awesome.
It was amazing. It's one of those moments where I'm like, man, if Julio, I need a reality show. Sometime.
Julio knew they probably really karate chopped him 84 times.
Yeah,
you know?
they were more concerned with talking about Curtis.
I wanted to do something last week when we pulled up to New York, and we love all the fans. And this isn't to disparage fans. There's always autograph seekers that are at the hotel. So I'm on bus 5, which if you guys ever see how we pull in with a cavalcade of buses, it's 1 through 5, and typically 4 and 5 is more people like us that are not players. It's media members. It's, you know, Falcon flyaways, whatever. So I see all these guys, and I look at Bo Morgan, who's the producer of the radio network, and I said, dude, I think you should go down and sign one of their helmets, Squidbilly 1000. So I thought about it, and I said, you know, I look more like a football player than Bo does. Bo's like 5'6", I mean, he's, you know, 145 pounds. I was going to go sign at Brady Ewing, because Brady Ewing, who's a player, I was going to go and say, hey, I'm Brady Ewing, I used to play. And Brady was our guy. I really enjoyed being around Brady Ewing. I wanted to do it, and I said, no, you know, I just I try to be professional on the road. But I see those people all the time and want to do the fake autograph.
And crush them.
Yeah. It's really kind of fun the way we pull in, too. I mean, because it is an event. Because
we're like a rock star.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool. And so
it's like the president's in town, places. You know.
I keep my beats on. I try to look important, although I'm not.
But if you're there and you've seen four buses unload and fives unload and just leave.
Yeah, just leave.
There's
bus
no way
five isn't helping. If there's one guy I want to be stuck on the elevator with, first-year Falcons, Leonard Hankerson. Because then I could just sit there and talk to him about, you know, his time at the U. I'll really worry him. I like that. We've got Hester, we've got Bosher, we've got Hank.
You've got a lot of
it's
guys.
Good.
Yeah. You've got a lot of representation. I'm hanging on to Jerome Smith because we just got rid of Marquise Spruill. So that's all I got left.
That's it. And Bosch is growing the beard. That's why, you know, got to have the long beard this year. All right, what do we got for video of the week this week? Can it top last week's video?
All it says
of the week?
Is golf course, so I'm concerned.
I'm worried you guys might have seen this.
I'm all for it if it says golf course.
I've been surprised before.
All right, here we go.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this commercial.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I have not.
You haven't seen this commercial?
You got to be the commentator, though, Bo. Come on. So I say, if you've seen this commercial, they're talking about the commentators, and the commentators are talking, and they're still talking in their golf voice.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, he's going to have to take a stroke on this hole.
Yeah.
See, the first time I saw this, I just saw the video. I saw it edited like this. Mm-hmm. No commentary, no nothing. I was like, just thought it was a golf highlight.
Yeah.
It caught me so by surprise. And I was like, what the heck?
Oh, all of a sudden there's a giant Kraken on the 15th hole.
Kraken.
You know how serious they are at a golf course? We broadcasted a few years back at East Lake for the Tour Championship, and we're actually above hole 10
Lake.
Or 11.
East Lake is like second to, you
well,
know,
this is a Tour Championship, so it's real serious. Now, I have a pretty loud voice. Dave Archer has a pretty loud, distinctive voice. Mike Bell, who works in this town, has a very loud, We get out there, and they literally go, you guys are too loud. We're trying to do a radio broadcast. Right. So for 4 hours, for 2 days, we were talking like this. We were going, all right, guys, we'll come back from break, and we're going to break down, you know, the winning position at the Falcons. We end up having an interview, and it's funny. We've got the Dolphins coming on. Joe Rose, who's a legendary radio voice down there, played tight end for the Dolphins. We have an interview. Well, I'm excited to talk to Joe Rose. Hey, we got Joe Rose coming up just as Tiger Woods is about to tee off.
No way.
His people gave me the death stare. They basically were like, if he talks again, he's out. And they were going to kick us off the golf course.
Wow.
So can you imagine? We do maybe next week for Falcons.
That'd have been a good story to have been kicked off by Tiger Woods.
We'll do the whole broadcast in golf voice.
Yeah.
Jay, we'll toss it over to you.
I think one of a good break with Bosek question at some point would be like, what was the worst interview you ever did with somebody?
Oh.
Because mine came – I covered Ernie Els 1 year in the Heritage in South Carolina. And he literally walked away from me after two questions. Like,
walked
just,
away?
Like, and it wasn't like
you didn't get a chance to end it? He just
no,
walked
it wasn't
away.
Like – it wasn't like my question – I was lobbing up softballs.
Right.
And he's like, he finishes his answer, and he's like, okay, good. And he walks away, turns around. I'm just like sitting here like,
what just happened?
What happened to me?
He crushed you.
Yeah. Well, it's been a lot of fun. This time goes by really fast.
It happens.
It doesn't seem like work.
It's not. It's three guys
you
sitting around
levitation
talking about football.
Well,
that's it.
We got a big game coming up on Saturday evening.
I'm doing my golf voice. You guys got me involved.
See, what you sound like right now is you're auditioning for like a late night radio show with a slow jam.
I am the new R&B singer for the Atlanta Falcons.
Coming back next, we'll have a slow jam block of R. Kelly and Jodeci.
Yeah.
It's DJ Shockley
on the Midnight Storm.
There it is.
I got a Snapchat.
Sober.
Can we do it again?
Do it again.
All right. Coming up next, we'll have a slow block as we get ready for the Dolphins. It's going to be a
and
little Jonas.
And we got the sultry sounds from John Michaels and Jay with the sultry music.
That just went out over the interwebs.
We'll
be back next week as we're cutting down to 75 players. We'll talk about the Dolphins and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it has been a blast. My first full-time
day. You did a great job on your first one.
Appreciate it.
Wow. All right,
can we end this thing?
We just throw things at Bosek.
There we go.
Oh, sure, at me?
Oh!
Bow!
Oh, you hit the TV.
Bow!